Independent filmmaker and Pittsburgher Julie Sokolow first met David Matthews hanging out in coffee shops and around town. Eventually, he messaged her on Facebook suggesting she make a movie about him. So she did. Aspie Seeks Love follows Matthews as he searches for love and professional success in his late 40s after a late-in-life Asperger's diagnosis. After a sold-out Pittsburgh debut last month, the film returns for a run at the Harris Theater this Saturday. Sokolow recently spoke to Larkin Page Jacobs about what drew her to Matthews.
He's a fantastic artist and writer, and he's maybe the funniest person I've ever met. I think that's what really drew me to this project was David's sense of humor more than the Asperger's or his quest for love. It was really him as a person in many dimensions of his life.
So he's in his mid-40s, and what does he do, and why is this quest so important to him?
He works as an office staffer at the Vocational and Psychological Services in Newcastle, and he always wanted to have a job as a full-time writer, as a lot of us can relate to, or creative, and he struggled with that. I mean, he's had the struggle a lot of people have with making a living in the arts, but to add that to that, he has autism, and so the social component of being suave in the art scene or literary scene has also evaded him. So through the film, we also chronicle his quest to publish his first book, gain mentorship from Chuck Kinder, who a lot of people in Pittsburgh know as the author of Honeymooners, A Cautionary Tale, and a friend of Raymond Carver. So the film really does chronicle a lot of dimensions of David's life, apart from the quest for love. And it's kind of like a coming-of-age tale in that way.
His sense of humor, I mean, he's really funny. And I keep thinking, when I was watching it, I kept thinking, well, women must see that, and that must be really appealing, but it doesn't seem like it's not enough.
And what I would say to that is, you know, he's very genuine and authentically himself, but the fact that I'm there asking him questions, giving him something to respond to, is a large part of that witty commentary that's coming back. Whereas on a date, you know, you're expected as the other part of that equation to ask the woman questions about her life. So as a documentarian, I'm not expecting David to ask me questions back and be reciprocal. It's a one-sided interaction. So I think that's why he might make incredible documentary subject, but not necessarily an excellent, superb, suave dater.
There are some scenes that feel very authentic. He's doing a reading, he's binding a book, and there are some where he's just standing holding an object, and those are very posed. And so I'm wondering why you kind of did both of those.
Yeah, I like that variation between fly on the wall. Sometimes fly on the wall gets to be too much, and you almost need an interlude that's a little bit more constructed to break that. So I do appreciate that back and forth. So there's one where he's holding his MRI photo up. So that was an interesting way to express his interaction with his label of having Asperger's, which was given to him late in life. But we didn't go to clinicians. We didn't take that kind of didactic point of view very often where we define Asperger's. For me, this was always about David apart from that diagnosis. If you want the Wikipedia entry on what Asperger's is or autism is, you can look that up. But this is about a person who spent 41 years of his life without that label. He was just question mark. Is this guy weird, a freak, eccentric? You know, I mean, he got bullied in school, called a lot of names because he didn't fit into this category. Getting a label like that, you know, can obviously be a relief after you've spent that much time being a question mark in society. And the fascinating part, too, is that 5 years later, it's pulled out from under him again. So Asperger's is no longer in the diagnostic manual, something that David's very upset about. And opinions vary on that. I try to give David the platform to say how he feels without my personal intervention. But I think that, you know, it's hard. He's a guy who's resisted labels in a lot of way, and yet this is one that he's clung to.
I feel like that must have been kind of interesting waters for you to navigate. This is about a really interesting person and their search for love and professional fulfillment, and they also happen to have this diagnosis that makes them different, but you don't want the film to just be about the diagnosis and the thing that makes him different, except you wouldn't be filming him if he weren't so interesting and different. So how did you, like, juggle that?
I do remember being kind of naive at first when I met him in 2011. I was kind of fresh out of undergrad at Pitt, and I just really loved his sense of humor and his style and him as a person. And he's like, oh, yeah, and by the way, I was diagnosed with Asperger's recently. And I was like, I guess that'll make it into the film.
So maybe as an aside.
Yeah, and then, of course, now it's in the title and it's become such a huge part of the story. But I think maybe even the fact that it never started there, that that was never the initial drive to make this film, benefits the film.
Okay, great. Thanks for talking with me.
Thanks, Larkin.